And to the work, to the work. Those should be our theme songs for this week, right? I want to be a worker for the Lord, and to the work, to the work. And we do have a lot to do this week. If you're not tired 2 weeks from now, something's probably wrong. You didn't do what you needed to do. There is a lot to do. There's lots of cards to send. There's lots of phone calls to make. There's lots of people to visit. We have a very important event coming up a week from today, and we want to make sure that we've done our part. God said He's going to take care of His part, but we have to take care of our part first. We're the ones, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 3, are supposed to be planting, and He's going to take care of the increase. So our job is to do the planting, the planting. And hopefully that's what we've been doing and will do this week. One of the rites of passage as a young boy is looking for buried treasure. I remember talking to the young men back here a few weeks ago about this particular section of Job. And talking about looking for treasure, buried treasure. And just about every young boy at some time in his life looks for that buried treasure. Maybe it's a treasure he thinks was left there by pirates, or some treasure lost by maybe someone who was carrying gold across the country or whatever. Looking for buried treasure, it's something that's exciting for young boys to do. Well, young boys grow up, don't they? And they become older boys and young men and older men. And we still look for stuff in the ground. But we kind of change, and we still look for stuff in the ground, but we look for stuff in the ground that we can make things out of. We still look for gold and silver. We also look for uranium. We look for lead and zinc and all kinds of minerals. Just about 3 years ago, the mining industry in the United States was a $57 billion industry. A lot of money made looking for buried treasure. It is treasure when you find it, and it is buried because it's in the ground. We don't go out with a pick and a shovel looking for it. We have some very sophisticated equipment looking for that buried treasure. And we still look for it because we know how valuable it is. Some of us might be surprised to find that Job knew a lot about mining. Mining was going on in the days of Job, and we have to go back, and Job was probably written a good 2,000 years before the birth of Christ. So we're talking about 4,000 years ago, Job knew something about mining. People were mining the ground looking for things that are precious. And that's where we want to take our attention tonight, is Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28, and we're going to begin by looking at treasure of a physical nature. And then we're going to end up talking about what kind of treasure is the kind we need to be looking for. In Job chapter 28, let's begin in verse 1 and read down through verse 4. Job says, "Surely there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death. He breaks open a shaft away from people, in places forgotten by feet. They hang far away from men. They swing to and fro." You would think that that Job had been to West Virginia to some of those old coal mines. That's what it sounds like he's describing here. Here, though, he says that there surely is a mine for silver somewhere, and a place where they're going to take gold and refine it, make it pure. That's what refining does. He talks about iron and copper being taken from the earth. And he says he searches every recess for it. looks for ore in the darkness. He breaks open a shaft. We know that's how they will drill some type of shaft or dig a shaft straight into the ground or sometimes at an angle, depending on what they're looking for, to find this treasure, what's precious, what's valuable. And they're looking for it and they want to find it. And he says they look for it in places forgotten by feet, in places that usually aren't inhabited by men. We who have feet. And that's usually where they mine, is in remote places, desolate places, wilderness places, places forgotten by feet. And he says, they hang far away from men, they swing to and fro. And if we've ever watched documentaries or old movies about mining, we know how people are, at least in days gone by, were let down by ropes, either tied to themselves or in some sort of enclosure made of wood or metal, and they go down and they swing back and forth as they're lowered into the earth. We just see Job describing these men. And these men are going down into places, especially in Job's day, that was extremely dangerous. But why? Why would they do that? And that's the point of why Job is describing this. Why do these people go into these remote places? Why do they risk their lives? Why do they go down into these dark recesses? Because they're looking for something valuable, something that's not found on the surface. You don't find gold and silver just lying on the surface of the ground. You don't find a copper or iron just lying on top of the ground. You have to put a lot of effort into it because it's very valuable. So you're willing to risk everything. Job is leading up to something. He's going to make a point. Well, he goes on. As for the earth, from it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust, and it certainly does. If we're going to dig for precious jewels, again, they're not just found lying on top of the ground. You're going to have to dig for them, you're going to have to find them in the ground, and you're going to have to put forth some effort, whether it's sapphires or whether it's gold dust. He says, that path no bird knows, nor has the falcon's eyes seen it. Birds and falcons can't find them. Why? Because they're not on the ground. They're buried underneath the ground. Even a falcon with its extremely good eyesight, one of the best eyesights in nature, can't see these things because they're underground. Well, he goes on and says, the proud lions have not trodden on it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. The lions aren't going to come upon it because it's buried. They couldn't find it. He puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountains at the roots. And of course, in Job's day, that's how they dug, with flint, which is a hard rock. And so they can make their cutting tools, their axes, and their picks out of flint. And they would start digging with it. And he says he overturns the mountains at the roots, and that's what they have to do. You know, they go to the very bottom of the mountain if they have to start digging into the ground to find these precious metals and minerals. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams from trickling. What is hidden, he brings forth to light. He cuts out channels in the rock. And of course, they have to do that. And sometimes, even we've seen people pan for gold, and they have to have a channel of water so that they can find those little tiny particles of gold. Even little bits of gold are valuable. And he makes that point. And whatever is hidden, he's going to bring forth to light. Now, Job has laid the foundation for what he is trying to say. Remember Job's plight, what he's been doing. His friends have came from afar. They came to comfort him. They come, though, and they see all the terrible things that Job has suffered, his loss of children, his loss of wealth, his loss of health. And so they just know beyond any doubt that Job is the worst of all sinners, and they just try to convince Job, give it up. Admit the fact that you're a terrible, wicked person. And if you do that, God will forgive you. Well, Job, in this particular section, is basically coming back and saying, you may not know everything you think you know. Now look at verse 12. Now Job uses what he's talked about as far as mining into the earth to find out these truths. It says, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Job is getting ready to say, well, where are you going to mine for wisdom? Where are you going to dig for understanding? Is it in the ground? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. Job says, you can dig in the ground all you want. You can go searching in the ground, but you're not going to find wisdom there, and you're definitely not going to find understanding. Because it's not there. That's not where to look for it. Job says, the deep says it's not in me, and the sea says it's not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir and precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. His friends thought they knew. His friends thought they were wise. His friends thought they understood Job's problems. They thought they understood God. See, they were under the misguided principle that if something evil happened to a person, if something bad happened to a person, it was because they were evil. See, they thought that was an established fact. They thought they knew that beyond any doubt. And they thought they didn't have to go to God for that type of wisdom and understanding. They thought that was just plain old obvious. And so they had been telling Job this, you know, Bildad and Zophar over and over and over, Eliphaz over and over and over. Job, we know this is true. We know you're a sinner because God has done these things to you. And we know God. And Job's coming back and says, no, you don't know God. You don't know Him at all. Where is wisdom and where is understanding? Well, Job goes on. He says, from where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It's hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. God understands its way and He knows its place, for He looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind and apportion the waters by measure. When He made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then He saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, He searched it out. And to man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Job says, no man should ever think that he completely knows God, because God cannot be totally understood by man. God is an infinite being. Man is finite, and man is mortal. God isn't bound by our thinking, our beliefs, or our values. God is not bound by those things, Job says. Job comes back and says, God is so far above us that we'll never understand His ways. So don't ever think that you know everything God knows. And just because you think something is true, if you haven't checked with God, then you don't know if it's true or not. Job says, God is the one that has all this wisdom. God has all the understanding. And he makes the point, the fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord, the understanding that the Lord is God, that's wisdom. Understanding that you don't know everything, that's wisdom. Knowing that you're not all-knowing, that is understanding. His friends didn't think that. His friends thought they knew everything about Job's situation. They thought they knew everything about how God operated in the world. They thought they knew all about how God treated sin and evil. They thought they knew all of these things. And Job comes back and says, uh-uh, no you don't. First of all, you don't really fear the Lord. And that's why you don't understand my situation. So don't come to me and say, you know everything about my situation and you know why God has done this and you know why God has done that. Job says, you don't know. You don't know my situation. You don't know why these things have happened to me. Job didn't even know. Remember, he was not aware of the conversation between Satan and God. He had no idea about that. He had no idea he was being tested like that. And yet his friends presumed that they knew all of these things. And so Job comes back and says, yeah, you can go into the earth and you can search for all these things and you can find gold and silver and copper and precious gems in the earth. And you can put forth all that effort, but you're not going to find wisdom and understanding there. Job says, they're not there. That's not where they are. Only God knows where they are because God is the source of wisdom and understanding. And Job says, you can look there as much as you want, but it's simply not there. Not all treasures can be found. That's what he comes back and says. Not all treasures can be found. And some wisdom and understanding is not to be known in our lifetime. I'm not going to know the reason why everything happened in my life. In my lifetime, I'm not going to know all the reasons why everything happened. I'm not going to. And Job says it's futile to try and know everything in this life because you cannot know why everything happens in your life. He says you just cannot know it. And to presume that you can is to presume to be God because God's the only one that knows that. And so a lot of those things simply can't be known in this life. And so Job is trying to offer a defense to his friends. You know, his friends thought they knew everything. And Job's coming back and saying, no, you don't know everything. You don't know all these things that's happening. And you don't know why they're happening. In Micah chapter 4, verse 12, it says, but they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand His counsel. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Job knew some things and understood some things his friends did not understand. Now they thought they understood these things, but they really didn't. They even thought they knew what God was thinking. Because they told Job that they knew with a certainty that Job was a terrible sinner because of what had happened to him. They told him that. They said, we know that is true, Job. And Job knew they were wrong. Job knew he was not a terrible sinner. He knew he wasn't the most wicked person on earth. And so he comes back to them and says, you don't know everything. You don't have all wisdom and all understanding. Yeah, you might know a few things, but you don't know everything. Some things are hidden, as Job says, from the eyes of all living. And are things that we simply cannot know in this lifetime. So we need to be careful when we say that we know why God does certain things. Remember Paul's point in must be 1 Corinthians 2 or Romans chapter 2. It's one of those two chapters. It's Romans chapter 2. Paul makes a point that the only way we can know what's in God's mind is when His Spirit reveals it to us. He says that's the only way we can know. He is vastly superior to us in every way. Therefore, the only things we can know about God are what He chooses to reveal to us by His Spirit. And that's it. We can't know anything greater than that. That's it. That's the most we can ever know is what He chooses to reveal to us. Not a single thing more. Period. The Spirit searches the mind of God, the deep things of God, and then those things are revealed to us. Not everything about God, but just what the Spirit, just what God through the Spirit decides to reveal to us. Where can wisdom be found then? Job says here, precious stones and metals are found in the deepest mines, but wisdom is not found there. Job says wisdom can't be bought with precious metals and precious jewels and stones. Wisdom is found only in God and in His fear. What an incredible lesson. You don't have to turn the TV on very long to come to the point where some people think they know at least as much as God knows, and some people seem to indicate that they know more than God knows. They understand more than God understands, and they are wiser than God. So many people on TV and the radio and write books and so forth claim to know more than God does. Job says it's impossible. Because His thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways. He is so far above us that to presume to know that, to even claim that we know as much as God, is one of the worst things we could ever say. And yet His friends seem to be making that statement. So when people say, well, why did that have to happen? Why did this happen or that happen? Why did the hurricane hit the Gulf Coast? Or why did the earthquake hit the Middle East? Or why did these things happen? And to claim that we know everything about all of these situations is to claim to know as much as God does. And that's what Job comes back and says. Yeah, we can know some things about these situations. We can know some things about why certain things happen. But to say that we can know everything, to have all understanding about all events that happen to everybody, is to say we know as much as God. We can know some things. We can know cause and effect. We know that if we step off of a 20-story building, we're going to fall and hit the ground and almost definitely die. Yeah, we can know that. We can know cause and effect. There's a lot of things we can know, but we can never say that we know everything and understand everything. It's just impossible. In Proverbs chapter 9, the writer there gives us some words of wisdom about wisdom. He says in Proverbs 9, verse 10, these words. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from the fear of the Lord. It comes from God. And how He has chosen to reveal that to us. And to us today, He has chosen to reveal that to us in His Word. And again, to presume to know things not revealed in God's Word is to presume too much. That's why the Bible says it's the Word that's going to judge us on the last day. Not anything else, just the Word. And we can't presume that God will save people in other ways than revealed in the Bible, because He said He's going to save people the way He said He's going to save them, in God's Word. To presume anything else is to presume too much. To presume He's going to be more merciful or more loving than the Bible says He's going to be is to presume too much. We can't presume more than the Bible has revealed to us. If we do those things, we're claiming to know more than God has revealed to us, just like Job's friends. And in Proverbs 16:16, the writer says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. There's where he tells us, there's what's important, there's what's precious, there's what's valuable. Wisdom and understanding. And we get that from God. From fearing the fact that He is the Creator, the Master of the universe, the Lord God, Jehovah. And to believing that His Word is what we have revealed to us. And we're not to go outside the Word, not to presume to add to it or to take anything from it, but to stay within its pages. And never to claim anything that the Bible doesn't claim for itself. See how presumptuous that is. And yet the world is filled with people that do that very thing every day. presume to know things that the Bible doesn't say they can know. Claim to receive revelations that the Bible says aren't given anymore. Presume all kinds of things that the Bible says do not happen. And how presumptuous they are to do so. Job's friends were presumptuous. And people still are presumptuous today. Yes, there are treasures. And as we talked about this morning, the kind of treasures we want are the kind of treasures that do not rust. They're not corruptible. They don't decay. They don't fade away. But they're reserved in heaven. The Bible tells us we can have an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, and that's in heaven waiting for us to take. But we take that by faith and obedience, by believing in God's Word, just what it says, not adding to it, not taking away from it, doing what it says and following it and doing our best throughout our life and being faithful. By first becoming a Christian, by being immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, and then living a faithful life. That's what God expects of us. He doesn't want us to be presumptuous and go outside His Word in any way. And so tonight we have an opportunity to follow the Bible, to do exactly what He wants us to do, to become a Christian, to follow His example, to follow His commands, and to do what He says do. And if anybody needs to make those responses tonight, we encourage you, while you're still here and able to make those right decisions, to make them now. And we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing this song.